because up and down the lineup, individually, you don't see those crazy numbers. You see a lot of good things going on in the team concept. Is there more to come with this club in your mind?
Well, you would hope so. Obviously, we see areas of our games that we can improve upon, get more consistent with. Individually, like you said, some of the guys are maybe not where we thought they'd be at this point in the season. But overall, I think, you know, we're happy with the direction that we're going and the way that people are playing and pitching the ball and catching the balls. But obviously, you have to figure out how to keep getting better for individuals and collectively as we go forward.
I want to talk a bit about the feel of this club. It's a very positive feel, and it starts with you, and you're a very positive guy. Not in a Pollyanna, hey, it's not raining even as it's coming down on your head sort of way, but in a hey, here's our situation, and now how do we get better from it? Where do we go from there? Is that just how you're wired? Is that something that you have focused on or developed through the years?
I think when I was a young player, I was fairly temperamental, got caught up with the emotion and probably had more outbursts than I should have, but I think that's something that a lot of young players go through. As you're around the game longer, finish your playing career, you coach, you develop, and you do a lot of different things. I think your patience increases and your positivity increases. You understand that when there's 162 games to compete in, that you don't try to get caught up too much in any one given day.
And I see it trickling down. I mean, your staff is very positive, yet intense. So you don't want to, you know, shortchange that end of it. Your players, too. Trevor the other day had the rough day in the field, and his line afterwards was, I'm going to beat myself up until I take a shower, and then I'm going to forget about it and try to win tomorrow.
Well, I love that they're doing that. I think that our coaches have been very positive. They've really gotten after it. And, you know, who's to say when you're going to hit a bad streak somewhere along the way that you can find your way to have that same attitude no matter winning, losing, whatever. You keep pushing forward.
Yeah, that's always the test. Our phone number here is 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-9467. If you've got a question for Paul Molitor, again, it's 877-38-TWINS. Looking at today, you guys have the Rays in town, and you've won another series. You've won more again at home, which was something that you had really set out to do. Mm-hmm. These two ball games, though, man, you're going to have silver hair by the end because these have been, if you're a baseball fan, great ball games, not necessarily the prettiest ball games, but in terms of strategy, guys making plays, trying to take advantage of small opportunities. We've seen some pretty intense baseball last 2 days.
Well, as you mentioned, I think Tampa, that's kind of their identity that they have taken on. They pitch well, they play good defense, and they find ways to grind out runs. And, you know, these two games have been exactly like that. You know, you come down to the end, and it's close, and it's going to go one way or the other according to a big pitch or a big hit. And, you know, fortunately, excuse me, yesterday after Trevor, you know, gave up the two-run homer, we were able to come right back. And that was a really nice response to a difficult lead that we gave up, especially after we had missed some opportunities early.
You mentioned that, and I don't want to go to first break without getting to Trevor, because you left him in there after the big home run.
Yeah.
And he's a kid who, again, is growing with every start, and he had the one bad inning last time out, and he was upset about that. He goes 3-0 on the next guy. And that's a point where a young pitcher could go a lot of different ways. He comes back and gets the big out. I thought that was a big moment lost in the scope of a game.
You know, he hadn't been out there at that point of a game here in the big league level. And so I'm trying to get guys to, you know, stretch out, you know, take off some of the reins and see what can happen. And it almost backfired on us yesterday after he gave up the home run. But we were kind of looking at matchups to get us through that inning, however it shaped out. It turned out I went ahead and let him face those right-handers. Beckham hit the home run. But at that point, I said, hey, I still got to give him this next hitter. Hopefully he gets an out, and then I can go to the left-hander if I need to.
Yeah, and we saw that with Kyle Gibson, kind of similar in Seattle earlier this year, and we've seen where he's gone from there.
So. Yeah, it's good to get these out. Give them a chance to work out of their own jams a little bit.
It is the Paul Molitor Show. 877-38-TWINS is the number. We've got some phone calls lining up. We'll get to those. Talk about today's game. Talk a little bit about Aaron Hicks, Eddie Rosario, and a whole lot more. Even some National League Baseball on the horizon. All still ahead on your home for Twins Baseball.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe, and I've been told I have the best hair in baseball. I've also been told that I know the best sausage and bratwurst in baseball, Sheboygan sausage. Only Sheboygan bratwurst and sausage is handcrafted the old-fashioned way, in small batches, using fresh, high-quality ingredients. Enjoy Sheboygan sausage at Target Field and at home, Sheboygan's stadium quality bratwurst and sausages are available at grocery retailers everywhere. Come on, guys.
The way you taste is simply divine. I got Sheboygan on my mind. Sheboygan.
Baseball season is finally here, and now is the time to check out DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with injured players or poor performers. Just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can win huge cash prizes. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code MNTWINS to play for free. That's MNTWINS at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
Well, there's the end of the inning. Before the next batter steps to the plate, let's get something on our plate.
New to the ballpark this season, but a familiar name and truck in Twins territory is Schwann's, delivering their gourmet caprese burger, flatbread sandwiches, and crispy classic freschetta pizzas.
And if you're still craving cheese, try Finacho's Zesty Nachos or satisfy your sweet tooth with some Edie's Creamy Soft Serve Ice Cream or Nestle Frozen Novelty Treats.
Target Field concessions and sponsors. Made in Twins territory, supporting Twins territory, and enjoy in Twins territory.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Well, there's the point. Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Hey, Jack Morris, welcome to the Paul Molitor Show here. This is the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us, 877-38-TWINS, and we're going to get to the phones. TJ is on the phones. TJ calling in from Iowa. TJ, do you have a question for the manager today?
Yeah, good morning. Growing up in St. Paul, did you ever dream of, let alone playing for a major league team, but and also managing a major league team in your hometown?
Good morning. I spent a lot of time dreaming about playing for the Twins. I think anybody that enjoyed the game and followed teams back when I was a young boy, some pretty good teams there in the mid-60s, but it was always about playing for me. I don't think that I had the manager thing start crossing my mind till the latter stages of the playing careers. For mostly, you think about getting that uniform on and going out there and see if you could play Major League Baseball. That was a big dream, but not the managing part.
Welcome.
Hey, Jack.
Sorry I'm late. A little traffic out there.
It happens, man. You're a little older now. You're a day older now.
Yeah.
Senior
moment, too.
We had a question on Twitter today, and the question for Paul was, do you still ever take cuts in the cage? You take swings in the cage with the guys?
You know, it's funny. I haven't swung in probably a couple of years. The other day we were out there on the field and we had Nolasco and Pelfrey taking some swings because they look like they're going to be two guys pitching the interleague game next week. And some of the guys were saying, hey, get in there and take a few. I think I have to mentally prepare for about a week before I try that. So maybe someday this year we'll get out on the field and take a couple whacks.
Now, similar for you, Jack, you hadn't thrown in a while, but now that Miles is of age, you're wearing your arm out again. You're back in action through your son.
Well, it's nothing near of what we did as players, certainly, but I'm just trying to get it in the strike zone so that he can improve.
There you go.
We've got more calls to get to. Joe is in Woodbury, and he's got a question about your Gopher days. Paul, let's go to Joe.
Hey, Paul. I was a coach several years ago back when you were playing at the U, and we used to go to clinics, Dick Siebert clinics. I'm not sure exactly if you were playing for Dick. I'm pretty sure you were. And you used to have a lot of base running drills. Do you still do any of those kind of things, and even form running and things of that nature, which we used a lot, and it was very helpful for, you know, running the bases properly, which you don't see a lot of that at the younger level now.
Well, I remember that when I was at the university, we would have coaches' clinics, and as players, we'd have to go out there and go through various drills for people to see how we got our practice in at the university. I do remember that we did a lot of base running things with Dick. He was kind of a stickler for fundamentals, including base running. And I think our guys here, especially in the minor league level, we try to teach them not only certain drills and things to improve. But also we watch guys. We try to improve form where we can, where we think that's going to help. A lot of these guys work on that stuff in the off season as well.
Good question. We appreciate the call, Joe. It is the Paul Molitor Show. Now, we've got Amy in Hopkins. We're going to have her hold through the break, and she wants to talk about Aaron Hicks, and I think that's a good topic for us to hit on in the next segment as well. For Jack and Paul, we'll take another time out. Coming back to the Paul Molitor Show to hear from Amy next on your home for Twins baseball.
Kids grow out of calling mom, mommy. They grow out of sleeping with a blankie. They grow out of eating stuff off the floor. They grow out of race car-shaped beds. They grow out of having invisible friends, hopefully. But a kid never grows out of baseball. They grow old with it. The joy, the lessons, and the memories stick with them like pine tar. Give your kid the lifelong gift of baseball. Learn more at twinscommunityfund.org. The Twins Community Fund. Getting more kids in the game. The Minnesota Twins Community Fund is supported by Minnesota Twins Cornerstone Partners, Target, U.S. Bank, Treasure Island Resort and Casino, and Delta Airlines. We thank them for supporting youth baseball and softball throughout the Upper Midwest and for getting more kids in the game.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Wednesdays are Student Day at Target Field. Rasmussen College is partnering with the Twins to offer $5 standing room tickets the day of the game. All you have to do is show your student ID. For more information, go to twinsbaseball.com.
It is the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, and Paul Molitor, of course. And we have Amy waiting patiently on the line. Amy from Hopkins, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning. Aaron Hicks has been turning some hits into outs in center field. Jack, as a pitcher, how much does it mean to you to have somebody like that playing behind you?
Well, it means the world to a pitcher to have guys be able to catch balls that might be hits and save you pitches, save you outs. It means everything to you. So, you know, they say the name of this game is pitching and defense. And one of the reasons the Tampa Bay Rays are where they are right now, they've had good pitching and great defense. And, you know, with Aaron Hicks out there, we all agree, I think, that it improves the outfield defense for the Twins.
Yeah, Paul, your thoughts on Aaron's performance since he's come up, not offensively necessarily, but really just in his approach defensively and what that can lead to for your club.
Well, it's only been a handful of games, but I think he's doing well. He's taken better at bats, still has a tendency to overswing a little bit now and then, but I think he's really focusing on trying to do things that help our team overall, not just hitting. And it shows up in the defense, as Jack talked about. He's been covering ground. He's in the right place. He's getting good reads and good jumps. You know, yesterday, you look at his game, he had a chance to drive in some runs in the first at-bat, and he got a couple tough pitches called against him, but two strikes he put in play didn't work out. He lined the ball out to center field when he had another chance to drive in a run. He made a beautiful bunt, but Longoria, unfortunately, is one of the better defenders on that play in our game. He kind of set him up. He started back and started charging a little bit. But, you know, he's doing good things. So I think he needs to understand that even if he's not getting hits on a given day, he can do things that will influence the outcome.
Talk about another guy that's really done a good job, and that's your bullpen pitcher, I guess right now, your setup guy, and that's Blaine Boyer. What was the change? I know that he talked about making an adjustment early, and can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, Jack, I don't know the mentality of pitchers as much as I do hitters. For me, obviously, coming over here and transitioning to a new team, he did well all spring. He threw hard. He threw strikes. He got righties and lefties out. And then, you know, for whatever reason, though, that first week, he had a little trouble finding the zone. And then when he had to come in there on pitches, hitters counts, you know, they were kind of hitting him pretty good. But he stayed the course. And obviously, he's in a really nice stretch here where he's getting big outs for our team. With Casey being down, he's kind of stepped up, and he's been a guy that we can rely on late in the games. And I'm happy for the guy. He's a great teammate. He works hard at what he's trying to do, and I think he's kind of looking for a way to revive his career here with the Twins, and so far he's taken it by the horns.
You mentioned Casey Fien, and he is one of a handful of players who are out. Tim Stauffer's on a rehab. He's in Rochester. Nunez was out running around, had a bat in his hand yesterday. Did not see Arcia on the field. You've got kind of a log jam of guys. Can you see a clearing up of that log jam in the future? Is there some tough calls to be made in the coming weeks?
Well, there will be tough calls. Anytime you have to change your roster a little bit, people coming back or whatever the circumstances might be. But, Nunez is doing fine. He's real close to being ready to play. Arcia is not quite there yet. Stauffer's doing well down in the minor leagues. He's going to probably resurface here sometime before this road trip's over. Casey Fien's a little bit longer with his program, the way we've had to stretch him out, probably sometime before the end of the month we might see Casey back.
Glenn Perkins, he's what, 13 for 13?
Yeah.
Had a couple rougher outings, but it seems like he knows. He's one of those guys that kind of knows how much breathing room he has, and when it comes down to getting the out that he needs, he's able to do that.
I'd kind of wish he'd treat them all like he didn't have much breathing room.
We all would like that.
Yeah. But I do think there's something to that, Jack. And, you know, he's very aggressive, obviously, when he comes into games. In a three-run game yesterday, first guy, you know, throws him a slider with two strikes that got too much of the plate, and the guy put it in the seats. And then he gave up a little kind of a jam shot too, but you know, he's making pitches when he has to. 13 for 13, I mean, we've had chances to close out games and he's done it every time, so really like how he's been throwing the ball.
You know, and I thought one of his games that doesn't go in the save column spoke volumes to kind of where this team is as a group, mentally and physically. He came in with a 4-run lead, non-save situation in Detroit. Now that was a game you really had to have. You'd had a big lead, they'd made it feel like it wasn't much of a lead,
right,
all day long. Some closers, they come in, you know, hey, it's not a save, it's not going to help me out. No problems. He came in and mowed him down.
Well, we need to do that now and then. You know, it's not always going to be just three, and you're playing teams that are explosive, and maybe some of your other guys aren't up and able to throw that day. So, you know, there's going to be times when he's in there when it's just not three or less. And hopefully when he does that, like he did in Detroit, he just kind of takes it and finishes the game out.
Well, you've got some National League Baseball on the horizon. You've got the Rays to deal with today. We'll talk about both of those issues when we come back. It's the Paul Molitor Show, one final segment on your home for Twins Baseball.
Rich espresso, fresh milk, creamy foam. With Quick Trip's new Caruba Gold Espresso Machine, making the perfect espresso drink is easy. Just choose hot or iced, and if you want iced, be sure to get ice over at the fountain. Then place your cup on the machine and select your favorite drink, perhaps a latte or an iced macchiato. Pick a size, add a flavor, and check. Your Quick Trip espresso drink will be ready in less than 40 seconds. Caruba Gold Coffee House style espresso drinks at Quick Trip. Enjoy.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to MNEYE.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do and see Minnesota Eye.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Tell you right now, when Gino gets here, I might just give him a cardboard box because Julia's got us. She's got us on tempo,
yep,
on time. She's been clean with it. This has been a pretty good show. So we might have to try to keep her around for the rest of the day, maybe. I mean, we might have to just give her a full-time gig. Rays are your job the rest of the day, and we've talked about them a little bit, but I want to talk about their starting pitcher today because I think Chris Archer is one of the more fascinating and talented young guys in the game.
Well, he's a young kid, and obviously can dominate games with the stuff that he has, being that between being a hard thrower and can really spin the ball. Both righties and lefties this year have struggled to hit 200, you know. So it's one of those games where you're going to have some tough at-bats. You're just going to have to go up there every time you have an opportunity, whether it's to start a rally or be in the middle of a rally or hopefully drive somebody in. Have a fresh mindset every time you go up there because he can be tough. But, you know, like everybody else in this game, when you have these kind of matchups, you just try to find out a way we can do it. He's a fun kid to watch pitch, though. I'll give him a lot of credit for that.
His mound opponent, Kyle Gibson, is really kind of settled in. He's got less of the highs and lows that he had last year. You got to like what he's been doing lately.
Well, I think that was a big goal for himself, and hopefully what we would see out of Kyle this year is just the consistency, Jack. And he's been on a pretty good run himself. Command's getting better. You know, even early in the year, he was – strike ball ratio was kind of not what you'd like to see, but he's been attacking as of late, and you know, when he's out there, I always feel like we got a good chance to win.
Second half of his last start, when he went to the changeup and he made some adjustments on the fly, he just got better over the last couple of innings that he pitched.
Well, that's kind of the Neil Allen thing, you know, that he's trying to get these guys to have more confidence, use their changeups, whether that's right on right or right on left, and you know, Kyle's bought into that, and I think he's seen some pretty good results.
We mentioned interleague play. You'll just have two games, so it's not like you can reshape your roster. You'll be in Pittsburgh to tangle with the Pirates. You're going to go Tony La Russa, bat Mike Pelfrey in the seven hole, or lead off Ricky Nolasco, or are you going to kind of play things a little more close to the vest?
I'm not that smart yet. So it'll probably be just put those guys down at the bottom. Fortunately, the two guys who are pitching have had some National League experience, which might help us a little bit. But it'll be fun to do the interleague play. We'll get a chance to see a exciting Pittsburgh team, a team that's been in the playoffs, and they got some talent. And, you know, just go out to play in a different ballpark. It should be a good atmosphere for our team.
Paul, you spent your entire career in the American League. Do you have any strong opinion of the style of the National League, the whole designated hitter and pitcher controversy, if you prefer one or the other?
You know, I always used to think, Jack, that there'd be a day when it was going to be uniform one way or the other. Now I'm not so sure. It could happen. The whole interleague thing, it's kind of changed courses since it started back in 97, I think. But it's a different game. There's more strategy. There's more things that you have to do, and a lot of people still like that. So I don't know if it's ever going to be a DH across the board.
One final chance to get a question in over the phones, and the note coming in here is about you and pitching. You said from the outset pitching's not your area of expertise. You were going to work with Neil a lot on that. How do you feel that's going, and what have you learned alongside with Neil as you guys have traveled this road together?
Well, you know, I think that I have learned some things. I'm going to continue to try to get better. Obviously, managing your bullpen is a challenging part of this game. And, you know, I'm learning about when guys get up, when they, you know, have the dry run, so to speak, how many times they can get up before it's going to start affecting them if they don't get him in the game, and then sitting them back down. And you know, just kind of looking for signs from your starters on when they might be kind of tiring, even though they might not be at their pitch count by location, and watch how the catcher sets up. And it's just kind of a constant learning process about different things you can find out about guys on your staff.
Paul, speaking to that, you know, all the aspects that you've kind of found your way to experience here in this short season so far, is there one aspect that you truly enjoy more than anything else? Is it making out the lineup card every
besides
day?
Besides the show, obviously.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, the lineups is fun to do because you try to find ways. You don't try to just throw names down there. You try to have a plan and why guys are where they are and who's playing and who's not playing. But I think the most fun part for me has been games, especially as they unfold and they're competitive and you get down to the last few innings and, you know, it's the outcome is still in jeopardy, whether we're just trailing or just ahead or even, and you find just your mind spinning and trying to do things that can help your team win a game. So there's a lot of stuff that goes with this job that's, you know, not just the game, but when you're out there playing and competing, that's the most fun.
Yeah, it's a great one to end on, Paul. We appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your family and get back to work as you try to sweep the Tampa Bay Rays here today. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a good Sunday.
Thanks. All right, that's Paul Molitor. This is the Paul Molitor Show. And, Jack, we got about a minute just for some final thoughts on today's matchup. We've seen two very tightly contested games, as we've discussed. I know you think the world of Kyle Gibson. Today, pitching to me, it's Gibson, it's Archer. Is this one of those whoever makes the fewest mistakes sort of games?
You would think on paper that's the way it's going to evolve. Kyle's been very good lately. Archer is one of the games, like you said, one of the game's great young pitchers. And, you know, he's got that edge. He's got that attitude. And that's something I really like watching, because he's got confidence.
Yeah, and it's been fun baseball the last couple of days.
It really has
been. Because two teams fairly evenly matched. Should be a good time. Belated happy birthday. We didn't get to say
Thank you.
You were TV guy yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So happy birthday to you. And I'm sorry you have to share it with Kyle Hammer. That's Jack Morris. Paul Molitor's been here as well. Want to thank everybody who dialed in today. And, of course, to Julia, who produced for us here today on the Paul Molitor Show. You stay with us all across the network all day long inside Twins just after noon. Then it's pregame lineup card and baseball. Twins and Rays on your home for Twins baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.